Welcome to Eucharist Podcast, where we're exploring what it looks like for a community of disciples to live all of life in reference to Christ. The following is a sermon given by Father Ryan Jones on October 9th, 2016. And apologies about the quality of this recording. We were having some technical issues.
In 1998, British artist Tracy Emin was going through some emotional and relational difficulties. And for a period of about 2 weeks, she basically lived in her bed, perpetually drunk. When she finally came out of her haze and she sobered up, she looked at her bed with her trash in it and all around it, bodily fluid stains, dirty clothes, used condoms, cigarette butts, empty bottles, and more. And a creative thought overtook her. This wasn't something to be cleaned up. This was art. She proceeded to name her artwork with a very creative title, My Bed. It went on to meet critical acclaim and was nominated for the Turner Prize, which is one of the biggest art prizes in the UK. It was displayed in the Tate Museum of Modern Art in London. And to cap it all off, somehow or another, she convinced some deluded soul to pay over $200,000 for her messy bed. If there's anything that I dislike, it's a bed that's left unmade all day long. You would have to pay me $200,000 to have this in my house. Now, I'm not going to use names, but somebody in our household doesn't value this as highly as I do. But I'm a little weird. I've even been known to make the bed 30 minutes before I'm gonna jump back in it, because I like the feeling of walking into a room and having it put together, where it feels settled. It actually helps me get into the mode where I can just go to sleep easily. I can relax. In general, I don't really like unsettled environments. When I go backpacking or camping, the first thing I want to do when I get out there is I want to set up my camp. I want to figure out where the tent's going to go. I want to figure out where the fire is going to be, where I can cook, where the food's going to be, where we'll collect the firewood from, etc. And I feel like I can't relax, actually, until I get all that settled. When it comes to working, it's pretty similar for me. I've noticed that I can't work very easily when my desk is messy. And there are dishes in the sink or things that are thrown around the apartment where I work from. I have a really hard time getting into a workflow when things don't feel settled. So you might think planting a church is a bad idea for me. And I sometimes wonder about that, right? The past couple of weeks, I've spent dozens of hours searching for and exploring potential venue spaces for our church to move to in November. Some of you know that we have to be out of this space in about 4 weeks because they're going to renovate the entire floor here for about 3 or 4 months. So I've been searching for a temporary home for us. And the short story is that we don't have a good solution yet. We have some possible fallbacks. Now, based on what I've already told you about myself, you could probably guess that not having a space lined up when we're 4 Sundays from needing one might be a bit difficult for me. And you'd be correct. I hate living with things unsettled. It's really hard to imagine a future when you don't even know where you're going to be in a month. Some of you are facing something similar to this in your personal life. For whatever reason, things feel unsettled. Perhaps you're at a job and you can't imagine being at that job much longer. You're on a career track that is basically a dead end. Maybe some of you are in relationships that feel unsettled, married or unmarried. Some of you are not in a relationship and you wish you were. Life feels unsettled, not knowing if you'll ever be married. Or perhaps you're like most of the people that I know in San Francisco and you're renting. And you're not sure how much longer you're willing to stay here and keep flushing money down the toilet every single month. So this morning, I want us to consider a question. What do you do when your life feels unsettled? Our Old Testament scripture passage today comes from Jeremiah 29. It's a portion of a letter written by the prophet Jeremiah about 2,600 years ago to a community of people who were forcibly taken into exile in Babylon. Now, Jeremiah is writing from somewhere around Jerusalem. I have a little map here for this. And he's separated from the people he's writing to by about a 900-mile journey. But the difference in culture and in language and in food and everything else makes it feel like they're a million miles apart. These people who had been taken into exile had suffered enormously. Loved ones had died. Their wealth was gone. Their dreams and their hopes for a future, if not crushed, were at best on hold. And here they were, stuck in a foreign land, not knowing how long they were going to be there or if they were ever going to be able to go home. In short, they felt unsettled. Their situation is not too unlike the 65 million refugees in our era who are currently displaced from their homes and who live in camps or in temporary arrangements around the world right now, many of them due to the conflict in Syria. Jeremiah's message to the people he's writing to is not an easy one. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. What they had hoped to hear was this: stay in your tents just for a few more weeks, maybe a month or two, and then you're going to come home. But instead, what he essentially tells them is, settle in as best you can. Build houses, plant gardens, carry on with life. You ain't coming home yet. Now, what was difficult about this was that God had promised that when these people would eventually be able to return home, back to Jerusalem again. But when and how? They don't know. All they know is that they are not in a place that is a permanent home, and nor is this a short camping trip that they're just on. Somewhere between there. Jeremiah informs them that they'll remain exiles for an undetermined amount of time. So for the foreseeable future, life is to remain unsettled. So much of the story of the people of God over the centuries could be described in just this way. The people of God are a perpetually unsettled people. Not just occasionally, here and there, but at some level, it's our permanent state. Ever since we were exiled from our home with God in the garden, we've been unsettled. But Christians in particular refuse to make this world too much our home. The letter of 1 Peter describes Christians as aliens and exiles. Not exactly settling language, right? Aliens and exiles. The letter of Hebrews describes Christians as strangers and foreigners on the earth. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, speaks of Christians as being people who, though their citizenship is in heaven, live as a displaced colony of sorts here on earth. The Gospel of Luke records Jesus speaking about himself in this way. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. We're an unsettled people. We want things resolved. We want closure. We want security. We want to be at home. But life remains unsettled. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke in chapter 17, and I'd like to actually invite you to take your Bible, your chair there, and turn there with me. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Does someone have a page number for us on that? Page 852 in the Bibles we have. Chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now let me pause for a moment to point out that in the time of Jesus, people with leprosy lived an especially unsettled life. Because of the risk of contamination of spreading their disease, they were exiled from their own homes. They couldn't live with their own family. They were considered ritually unclean, and they couldn't touch healthy people or come too close to them. They had to go about saying, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't come close to them. Can you imagine how unsettling that would feel? So in many cases, the lepers would band together, and they would beg for a living, but that's pretty challenging because you can't get too close to people. Which is why they stayed at a distance from Jesus, calling out to him. Luke continues in verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, this might seem a bit odd to us. We think of a priest as a religious leader. But in the Jewish culture, the priest was also the medical examiner of the community. He was responsible for declaring whether a person was well or not and whether they could be considered ritually clean and be able to be brought back into the community, reintegrated into the social fabric. He was in charge of all of that. Now, Jesus didn't say why they should go to the priest. As far as they were concerned, it was obvious that they had nothing to talk to the priest about. They had leprosy. They didn't need a priest to tell them what they could plainly see for themselves. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't perform a healing ritual on them. He just told them to go. And I love this in the end of verse 14. And as they went, they were made clean. As they went, they were made clean. I think there's something really powerful about this. The healing, the power, the transformation of their lives came not in a dramatic moment of healing. It came as they went. It happened on the way. My inclination is for things to be settled here and now. I want clarity. I want security. I want to know the script. I want to know where everything's heading and how we're going to get there before I go. I want a settled life. But that's not how Jesus works. He could have made it work that way. He could have waved his hand over the men, said a little something, and then once they were healed, they would have known exactly what to do, of course, to go to the priest. But Jesus simply told them to go before they knew why, before they had a reason to go. He didn't tell them why. He didn't tell them what was going to happen. He just told them to go. And to their credit, they obeyed him. Maybe that's one of the advantages of being unsettled. When you're unsettled, you'll just try stuff, right? You're like, what do I have to lose? It's settled people that won't go. So these guys obey Jesus. They set off to find the priest for reasons that are unclear as of yet. They have no good reason to do so, since when they set off, they're still covered in leprosy. But on the way, they become aware of the fact that they're healed. Isn't that beautiful? What is it? What is it that's unsettling about your life right now? What is that thing that you think, man, if I could just get that part of my life figured out, or if I could just get this part of me transformed or this part of me healed, then I'd be able to really settle down. And then I'd really be able to enjoy life. I'd really be able to devote myself to God. What is that thing? Is it a job or a career thing? Maybe you've convinced yourself that you just need to devote yourself to your career for now. And then eventually when things settle down, then you'll obey God. Then you'll really devote yourself to God at that point. Or maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe you've been telling yourself that once you get this relational thing figured out, then you'll obey God. Then you'll really devote yourself to God. Nine years ago, when I was 29, I sensed God nudging me to move to San Francisco to plant a church. And I was excited about that, for many reasons and very unexcited for one particular reason. I told God that I didn't want to go and plant a church yet because I didn't feel like my personal life was settled. I wasn't married. I didn't want to try to be planting a church as a single pastor who hoped to be married. Pretty hard place to be. I wanted to have this area of my life settled. And so I really wrestled with this, and I almost deferred the calling of God on me. But I felt God telling me to go. And I have to tell you that I'm so glad that I went. God knew what he was doing in my life. And 6 years into the journey, in the midst of planting a non-denominational church here in San Francisco, on the way, God brought me a wife. Now, I don't tell you that story to suggest that God will give you exactly what you think you want if you go. God surprises us. And in fact, it was after I got settled with the idea that I probably wasn't going to get married that God actually sent me a wife. God is deeply good and profoundly faithful. And by the way, for those of you that are not married, if you think that getting married means your life gets settled, not so much. Not so much. It might tie up one area in your life, but it opens up a lot of others, right? Then you're like, kids, where do I live? What do we do? A lot of other questions. Getting married does not settle your life, by the way. Now, I think part of the reason why God waited to bring Elizabeth into my life was that he wanted me to learn to trust him on the way. He wanted me to focus on him, not on the thing that I felt was so unsettling about my life. Because my default mode is to think that I need to get things settled first and then trust God. But this is the exact opposite of how God works. He calls Abraham from his home to a land that he's never seen. He must go as an unsettled man by faith. He lives in tents the rest of his days, learning to trust God on the way. God calls Moses to lead the people out of Egypt straight toward the Red Sea. He does this before the sea opens up to reveal dry ground. He has no idea what's going to happen. He's like, this looks like a disaster. But it's on the way that God shows up. I can't tell you how many conversations that I've had with people over the last few years who have put off obeying God for years because they were waiting for life to be settled first. Friends, if we're going to trust the scriptures, if we're going to believe Jesus, the healing, the transformation, all of the good stuff that God has in store for us, it happens on the way. It doesn't happen before. There is power and there is provision, and there is healing and there is hope, but it all comes to us on the way. We are the people of daily bread. Do you know what the main thing is that needs to be settled in your life? In my life. It's not our finances, it's not our singleness, it's not our marriage, it's not our career path, it's not our children, it's not our health. The thing that needs to be settled is our faith in God. St. Augustine said this so well. I have a slide for this here. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. That's so good. Can we just say that together? Say it with me. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. The reason we must go is not merely so that God can fix some unsettled area of our life. It's so that God can fix our eyes on him. That's where the healing happens. As Jesus says to the man who comes back to offer thanks, he says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And so I'm here to tell you, as your brother, as someone who struggles with being unsettled, don't wait for life to get settled. Don't wait. Get up and go on your way. Trust and obey. That's where the healing and the transformation and the power can be found. God will he will meet you on the way. That's not my promise. That's his promise. How do we know this to be true? Perhaps it's not coincidental that Luke frames this whole story by telling us in verse 11 that Jesus was, quote, on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus himself was on the way in the midst of a very, very unsettling mission. If you've ever studied the Gospel of Luke, you know that the entire second half of Luke's Gospel is structured around the journey of Jesus on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, where he is headed to suffer and to die. Jesus, out of his great love for us, leaves the Father's house. He unsettles himself. He becomes the exile. He becomes the stranger. He becomes the alien. He becomes the wanderer. He becomes the refugee. He embraces the unsettling reality of vulnerability and insecurity. Why? So that we might be brought home through his faithfulness. So the question is, do we trust him? Do we trust that if he says to go, that he will meet us on the way with power and healing? Do we trust that even in sickness, suffering, and even death, that he can be trusted? As I'm going about looking for a space for our community to worship in a month, I'm trying to remind myself this. I'm trying to remind myself that this is God's project. My life is God's project. This church is God's project. He's going to provide for us. It might be different than we expect, but he's going to meet us on the way. And I can promise that whatever's happening in your life, wherever's happening, no matter how unsettling it feels, that if you can trust him right now, he will meet you on the way. He will meet you on the way. I close with Paul's words to Timothy from today's scripture reading. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, this is so beautiful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That is the good news, my friends. That is good news. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just take a moment. Oh, Father, we're so grateful that you love us with an everlasting love. We're so grateful that you hold all things in your hands, that there is nothing that escapes your notice. We thank you that you are so faithful, that your character, your very being is faithfulness, and so you cannot be anything but faithful. We thank you for Jesus, who shows us what a good, unsettled life looks like. And who was unsettled himself that we might be brought home to be settled eternally in your household. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for myself that we would have the confidence in you, the mustard seed of faith that grows in us, that tells us that we can trust you, that you will meet us on the way, that we are not on our own journey by ourselves. So I pray for people today who are especially feeling unsettled, whether that's in a relationship or it's about finances or about a job or about anything, about health, about a friend or a relative. God, would you meet us as we journey with you? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Church podcast. You can visit us online at eucharistsf.org. and feel free to come join us for worship. We meet Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 1504 Bryant Street, San Francisco, California.